Good morning. Welcome to the presentation of results of the first quarter of 2021 of Grupo Sura. We have two announcements. First, we will begin with a pre-recorded session explaining the company's results. Second, we will have a live Q&A session to answer your questions. Today, we have from Grupo Sura, Gonzalo Pérez, the company's CEO, Mónica Guarín, VP of Human and Corporate Development, Ricardo Jaramillo, VP of Business Development and Finance, Juan Luis Munera, VP of Legal Affairs, and Carlos González, Manager of Investors and Capital Markets. From the affiliates, we have Carlos Oquendo, VP of Corporate Finance of Sura Asset Management, and Juan Fernando Uribe, VP of Finance and Investments of Suramericana. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. Now let's give the floor to Gonzalo Pérez.
Thank you so much, Andrés. Hello again to those joining us to present the results of the first quarter of 2021 of Grupo Sura. We'd like to begin underscoring the company's strategy. As mentioned in previous opportunities, the pandemic in 2020 evidenced that the strategy of Grupo Sura and of the affiliates thereof, where we make investments, supported those stress tests in such a special year. In this first quarter of 2021, the strategy still evidences its strength, as we will see during this presentation of results. Let me begin by talking about the strategic goals, which are very clear to us, and it really consists of, inseparably, of creating economic value to our shareholders and investors, and in turn, to create harmonious value to society. We can clearly state that this first quarter exceeded what we expected in terms of the results of the companies and, of course, of the group. That is, we have a higher economic value than, again, what we had budgeted, but also we managed to advance in that creation of harmonious value to society. Sura has maintained a fatality rate of 0.80, lower, that is, a third of the fatality rate of those infected by COVID in Colombia. Lower, of course, of the fatality rate worldwide, which is 220 throughout the planet. That's creating harmonious value. How we can co-create economic value and harmonious value in society. This means creating health, and that health is also creating competitiveness and productivity. On the other hand, at Sura Asset Management, the increase of 1.9 billion in flows has been very important and part of that creation of harmonious value. We've also seen how savings have been encouraged, and we'll see ahead how companies like the AFP of Peru provided for free those that lacked the coverage for disability and survivors thereof to remain effective with peace of mind and to continue increasing their savings in the company. These are very specific examples of creating harmonious value through the businesses. We will continue emerging every day. We want to mention this because it's when we are meeting those two clear strategic goals. Very clear, creating economic value and creating social value. Both goals really together will lead us towards sustainability. It's unthinkable to gain sustainability and a medium and long-term vision in any industry and in society if we don't have those goals with a pari passu development in each of the companies where Grupo Sura is. On the other hand, something quite positive and perhaps derived from the creation of value for persons and for companies are the results and the increased revenue of the companies. Indeed, we have consolidated income of 13.7%, which you know well is several times the inflation, and that's very positive. We said that this Perhaps when the pandemic began, we have to take care of lives, undoubtedly, and jobs. And this has been achieved and increased. And this is also part of our support to economic reactivation. Besides, we wanted to give a positive surprise to our clients, persons, companies, because it's a time when these industries needed more. It's a goal that we see today in growth that we had last year in the company's revenues, way above the inflation. Despite the pandemic and the economic slowdown we faced, this first quarter shows a 13.7 growth, another proof that it rises from creating value for the persons and affiliates assured by the companies in which Grupo Sura has its investment. This is quite important because while we have persons, businesses, clients, and consumers aware that we can create that value, we can also keep building sustainability for the company. On the other hand, we have undoubtedly worked in operating efficiency, not only by managing expenses, but using models that enable the strategy to expand access, that is, to be close to persons and businesses. But it also means to reduce the operating costs of the companies. Hence, the expenses of these companies in the first quarter dropped 0.4%. And this is important because despite the expenses incurred to serve COVID, you know that these expenses are important to reach our fatality rate levels that I mentioned. So that increase of total expenses for COVID by these companies, after displaying a 13.7% increase in revenue and the drop of expenses by 0.4%, helps us in operating costs to increase the number of persons and businesses and to have much more access and more productivity. Moreover, I want to highlight that these results, which ahead Ricardo Jaramillo will explain in more detail, includes 420 billion pesos invested in COVID, either due to higher claims ratio or to serve, including vaccinations. We already have more than 400,000 persons of the Sura HMO in Colombia vaccinated. Here we see an impact of 420 billion pesos in this first quarter, especially in Suramericana. And this is important because the resilience of these companies, remember, last year it was 1.4, this year it's 420, and the results that we are presenting, including Suramericana, has these impacts, which, again, show why we are in these industries and, in turn, combine the harmonious growth of society and the creation of value, or the path towards the creation of value, taking place faster than we thought. This led us to have a higher net profit. And as we've said since last year, 2021 is a year of transition. And although there is a third wave in several countries, Colombia included, where we have a major share, we have followed that path towards the recovery from COVID that we mentioned before. Lastly, the matters of value generation and reacquisitions were approved in the 2020 Assembly of Grupo Sura, aimed basically to reacquire shares as a very clear, efficient assignment of capital cost. This matter was achieved properly this year from January and February by the financial superintendents of Colombia and the Colombian Stock Exchange and enabled us to launch the program to reacquire shares, which we will discuss ahead. The amortization of the debt displayed this first quarter by Sura Asset Management of 335 billion pesos not only speaks of the recovery process, but also the company's soundness. Remember, despite COVID in 2019, we had 450 billion pesos to reduce the debt, more or less 150 billion per company. So Grupo Sura, Suramericana, and Sura Asset Management, in this case, have reduced their debt of 330 $35 billion, which for our consolidated obviously begins that path we want for financial deleveraging. And lastly, I'd like to talk about a very qualitative award given by the OECD to the Suda Foundation, which ranks third in social investment in the country. And we're very proud about this. The Suda Foundation is of all of you, of everybody that owns a part of this company, and it's celebrating its 50th anniversary. And I can't end without talking personally about the events that we're living in several countries of Latin America, both socially and politically. And there, I would like to simply address two or three actions underway at Grupo Suda. First, to create a constructive dialogue and to obviously reject violence. Protests are part of the construction of democratic society, and we know and we will support every type of dialogue to reach agreements that will allow society to have that harmonious growth that's part of our goals. It's an ongoing conversation that we all have to develop as corporate citizens. We need to allow it, enable it. And that's why we have been working even before the protests due to a fundamental reason of the company. I mean, we say that our company listens and talks, and that's how we build sustainability on a long-term basis. This is pivotal for the companies. We must build with all of society on a long-term basis is made with our role as Grupo Suda here and of the companies in which we invest. The idea is to enable those dialogues, those conversations with purpose. How can we jointly build a society? How can we jointly talk about political reform and the political moments that we are experiencing in the region of Peru, Chile, Mexico, El Salvador, and here in Colombia, soon in terms of elections? So how do we make constructive proposals to create value for society and also give way to the economic development in companies, which demand it from us, evidently? And you know better than others that every investor should do this harmoniously, jointly, not only to recover the environmental issues, which we have forgotten, and 50 years ago just began to show red flags. I mean, in terms of social issues, how to reduce poverty and informality, and obviously corporate governance, which means deep respect for society and for how we communicate with the society, and the creation of economic value. These are harmonious and cannot be deemed in silos or work independently. So with regards to all of these social and political events, our proposal is that to enable, to build society, to keep developing. And the industries in which we are and invest are clear enablers of the social growth, pari passu, which creates economic value. So this is an introduction to this presentation. And later, Ricardo Jaramillo will present the company's results for the first quarter. In short, we are meeting our strategy. It is gaining strength. We have revenue from all of our companies, which means support from persons and companies, which leads also to sustainability. In addition, we are creating economic value to each with profits that are really healthier than expected. Moreover, we should be enablers as corporate citizens in these social dialogues to end up with better countries, better companies, better societies, better persons. Again, thank you for joining us. And now I give the floor to Ricardo Jaramillo to take a closer look at the income statements and balance sheets of the companies and of Grupo Suda. Afterwards, we will be here to answer all of your questions. Thank you all very, very much. Thank you so much, Gonzalo, and a special hello to everyone. Today, as mentioned, Gonzalo mentioned, I will show you the financial results of Grupo Sura for the first quarter of 21, in which we have signs of recovery after the crisis. However, we want to be very cautious that we have challenges ahead. Let's look at slide 6. Here we see the consolidated income statement of Grupo Sura. First, let's begin by saying that the company reached operating income of 5.5 billion pesos. This represents a growth of 13.7% versus the 2020, showing that 2020 in the first quarter, we didn't have a pandemic, and there is some topics here of comparability that we have to understand. But when we look at these operating income closely, let's look at the business insurance. The premiums issued showed in the quarter a growth of 7.1%. We can see on the graph on the right-hand side, the positive trend that we have been observing in the last years, first quarter of the 19, first quarter of 20 and 21. Also, I would like to underscore income from commissions that represent especially those of the business of Sura Asset Management firm Asset Management growing 9.3 versus the year before. Also there we see the positive growth in last year's. The two other income or type of incomes that we have that are important to highlight and we'll see closely in the next slide are those from investments and equity method, which had an important impact on the first quarter of the previous year. Both income from investments and equity method added represent a recovery close to 621 billion pesos. So now I'd like to look at operating expenses. Gonzalo said in his introduction, the first is that operating expenses reached 5 billion, up 6.3%. And we have to understand this in two aspects. First, the retained losses, which come from the insurance business, growing 11.8%. Let's see closely when we talk about Sudamericana, where we see those higher claims ratio and operating expenses, which are dropping 0.4%. And that's important to highlight throughout the different companies that we see in this consolidated. It's a strong effort with efficiency to control expenses. So this gives us an operating profit of 500 billion pesos in the quarter. And as we can see on the graph lower right, it's a number that's intermediate, exactly the average between what we had in operating profit in the first quarter of 19 and the first quarter of 20. This shows what we've mentioned, that's a year of transition and that we're seeing an average profit. In terms of taxes, there's also a significant increase. This increase of taxes is mainly deferred taxes related to the better revenues from investments that we have. So then we end with a net gain of 211 billion that Gonzalo talked about. Let's move to slide 7, where we can look in detail at two items, which are equity method, which is the revenue that we come from our associates, and revenue from investments. As I said before, I'd like to highlight a significant recovery in both items. First, let's look at equity method. As of March of 21, it reached 239 billion pesos versus March 20, which had 95 billion. Here then we can see that each of the associates presented or contributed a positive variation of 144 billion pesos. In the graph, we can see the quarterly trend. We see how the quarters of 19 were positive with an average of 314 billion pesos per quarter. Here we had a quarter of 239 billion. It means that we're not at the level of pre-pandemic, but as I said, we're towards it. And then moving on to revenue from investments, we'd like to underscore also that although we can see in the quarterly graph, although we're much better than in the first quarter of 20, The figure of revenue from investments is driven a lot by Sudamericana and with a major recovery of Suda AM. Still, however, we're not at the average levels. For instance, of 2019, it was 523 billion per quarter. And now we're having an intermediate of 296 billion. Now let's look at slide 8, where we see the contribution of different investments and we see the net profit of Grupo Suda. We can see that Sudamericana showed a quarter with losses, and now we'll look at this closely, mainly related to the pandemic. It cannot be compared with March of 20 when we didn't have the pandemic. Again, we'll see that closely ahead. But we'd like to highlight the recovery of Suda AM in terms of positive variation and the equity methods. And also when it comes to Grupo Suda, there's some items that we'll see in the on the bottom graph that contributed to that profit increase. Here you can see very clearly how Sudamericana has been affecting a bit the results, again related to the pandemic. Suda AM with a positive net of 246 billion, which increases the profit. The equity method is 76 billion pesos, and we look in the gray table, the items related to Grupo Suda, there's also an increase in the exchange impact. In the first quarter of 2020, we had an impact because of the exchange difference. Today, we have all of the debt in dollars covered. And we see here a positive variation of 72 billion pesos. Also, to underscore the expenses from interest, here, these are degrading the profit 9 billion pesos. This is mainly related to the temporary debt that we have to pay the bond of $300 million that expires May this week, and that we had a debt of 1 billion that we issued in August during a period of time that we to anticipate this yield. To then end with the 211 billion pesos of net profit in the first quarter. Let's move to slide or page 10. Well, we see closely the figures of Sudamericana. I'd like to highlight two positive components: a growth of premiums that has been sustained in the last quarters and a strong control of expenses, which mitigated partially the impacts of claims ratio because of COVID-19. Let's look at premiums and those issued. We see a growth of 7.3 versus the first quarter of last year. This a positive growth since it's in all of segments, life, health, and general. We can see some seasonability in the first graph on the right hand, especially compared with the last quarter of 20. But we see a growth in the different previous quarters. The earned retained premiums grew 5.9%. And let's look at the second item of the retained losses, which increased 14.5%. We can see on the graph that the total claims ratio of the company moved from 67 to 70%. And on the bottom, on the bars, you can see how the expenses related to COVID-19 were 417 billion during this quarter. Now we'll see how it's distributed in the different segments. This is important because it's having an impact on the technical result that reached 503 billion pesos. But as we see in the lower left graph, it moved from 14.1 to 10.9% of the premiums issued, meaning 320 basic points, which somehow could be controlled in administrative expenses. With regards to administrative expenses, these increased 70 basic points, which compensate somehow the decrease of the technical result. So now let's look at revenue from investments, which dropped mainly because of lower interest and a lower inflation in Colombia. Remember, this portfolio of Sudamericana mainly supports the business of life in Colombia. And we'd like to highlight here expenses from interest that dropped almost 28.5%, understanding that the interest rates are lower and the amortizations to the debt made by the company to have a net loss of 11 billion pesos that we'll see next in the next slides in the different segments. Now let's move on, please, to slide 11. Here we see how it that profit of Suramericana consists of with different segments. So we'd like to underscore that the three segments, life, general, and health, grew in terms of profit. And also I'd like to look at the corporate segment in which, as I said before, there are lower interests and there are more taxes, mainly because of deferred tax that's related to the expectation of future dividends of the company. On this slide 11, I'd like to highlight the evolution per quarter of profit that you can see on the graph on the lower right. Here you see how the company has a profit that goes hand in hand with the claims ratio. In the first quarter of last year, we didn't have so much claims ratio related to COVID. We did have economies closed up, and this allowed to have less claims ratio in the business of general. Then we have more cases and fatalities in the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, we have a loss of 91 billion pesos, but we see some recovery towards minus 11,000 in this first quarter. So we see a very logical curve in terms of the claims ratio we've been observing related to the pandemic. Let's look at slide 12 to see the details of the segment of life, highlighting that the net profit of this segment goes back to the positive land or landscape backed by the growth of premiums and expense efficiency. In the first graph, you can see premiums issued grew 5.9%, retained grew 7.1%, mainly driven by life that grew 10.4%, individual 9.5%, and health 12.9%. Claims ratio because of COVID related to the segment was 220 billion pesos. And we see that in that increase from 67 to 68% on the graph. I'd like to highlight as well the performance of the business of labor risk, in which we saw in the previous quarter an ascent in claims ratio. First, we see that the segment has a new positive growth. You look at the graph on the top right, the valley related to the pandemic. And in this quarter, instead, we see a growth of 2%. And second, as I said before, the claims ratio, which is dropping, and now is at 70% below that was displayed the year before. Let's look at the lower left graph, where you see commissions and expenses as a percentage of the premiums issued. And there we can see improvements in two indicators, both in the mix of channels and the big effort to control expenses. On the right-hand side, you can see revenue from investments dropping 12.8%, as I said before, related to the portfolio of life that we have in Colombia, and a profit, net profit in the segment that's at 48 billion. But what's important here to highlight is that the two previous quarters, the profit of the life segment was negative. And here now we see a positive profit. Now let's move to slide 13, please, to look at the general segment, which had a growth of premiums despite a lower dynamics in autos in the region. There are lower sales of automobiles. And of course, this has had an impact, and that's important in this business. However, still considering this impact, we had a positive growth in the quarter of 0.7% and a growth in local currency of 5.8%. Now, I'd like to highlight the growth of 19.3% in corporate solutions, mainly in Chile and Mexico. We also see the claims ratio that has had some stability. And on the upper or top right graph, you can see the major effort made in expenses to keep them controlled. Now look at the lower left graph where you see the combined reasons that reach 108%. However, I want to highlight that particularly in the business of life in Panama, Mexico, these businesses are within the companies of general, so they're bringing a claims ratio close to 35 billion pesos, which But if we made the exclusion, we would have a combined reason of 105%. And looking at the profits we've had, we would have a positive profit in this segment as well. It's worth highlighting that there has been an impact on revenues from investments in the segment. However, it improves compared to the previous quarter. And as I said, a profit that was negative $1 billion, but now it has an impact of COVID, especially in Mexico and in Panama in these companies. Now let's move to slide 14, where you can see closely the health segment. I'd like to highlight several important points. First, we still see a very significant growth in premiums. You can see in the initial graph that the premiums reached $1.7 billion, up 27%. And it's mainly backed by the EPS SUDA, as you can see at the bottom, which reached 4.3 million affiliates. In this quarter, with a growth of 80,000 affiliates. And this is important because it gives a major scale to the company. And when we see the graph on the top right, you can see the increase of claims ratio related to COVID of 160 billion, reaching 90.9%. However, we see in control of expenses, it's connected to efficiency and scale, as I told you about the affiliates. The segment had a profit of 1 billion pesos, which we consider is very positive given the conditions of the pandemic in this quarter. And we want to highlight some items. SUDA made 156 tests, not only in the first quarter. As Gonzalo said, we reached 400,000 vaccinated in 91 sites with a capacity at SUDA of about 25,000 vaccinated per day. We reached a lethality rate of 0.8. which is a third of the lethality rate of Colombia. And another item that's worth highlighting is the growth of the complementary service plan, which is growing 29% with only in this quarter with almost 10,000 new affiliates. And now this business brought about 46 billion pesos of premiums to the company. Here we'd like to highlight that this segment of health, once this pandemic passes, will be a segment that will be very strengthened, very enhanced. Now I'd like to invite you to look at the financial results of SUDA Asset Management. Let's look at slide 16. Here first, we'd like to highlight the acceleration of the growth of revenue. And I invite you to look at the revenue from commission, which reached 621 billion pesos, up 7.5%. This growth is backed with the stable growth of the business of savings for retirement and a strong growth of the voluntary business. Also, there's a major recovery in revenues from reserves. The first quarter of 20 was affected because of the beginning of the pandemic, but we have a differential close of 100 billion pesos of more revenue versus the previous quarter only for reserves. Look at operating expenses. These grew 0.8%, which again, it's because of control and efficiency and expenses to reach an operating earning or profit of 237 billion. And it's important to highlight that if we exclude the reserve, just to look at the pure asset management business, the operating profit, as you can see in the graph, without reserve was 215 billion, up 28.9% versus the first quarter of the year before. Here on the bottom graph, you can see how the different segments, savings for retirement and AUMs of Inversiones SUDA and investment management had a positive contribution, moving from negative to positive of 116 billion pesos in the quarter. I'd like to highlight also in the financial result a drop of 54 billion, mainly because of difference of exchange that we had in the first quarter of the year before. That was positive in the case of the cash of the company in dollars in Chile, and that this year we don't have the same impact. Let's move on, please, to slide 17 to talk about the savings business for retirement. Here, I'd like to highlight that there's a major increase in commissions, mainly driven by Mexico and Chile. And let's look at the AUMs. Total reached 480 billion pesos, were up in the quarter 5% and a growth in the year of 15%, even keeping in mind the removals in AUMs in Chile and Peru. This is reflected in revenue from commissions that grew totally 4.6%. And we see it separate in revenues that are related to a charge for flow or a charge for AUMs, maybe mainly in Mexico. We see that the charge in AUM is growing 4.9% and by flow 4.4%. It's also important to highlight in this segment what we've been stating many times of the effort made to control administrative expenses, which are dropping 0.6%. And that means 270 basic points less in the relation of total expenses over revenue from commissions. Now let's move on, please, to slide 18, where we'll talk about the SURA investments and investment management business. Here I'd like to highlight the growth double digit and in the second quarter with a positive profit. Let's begin with the AUMs, which reached 72.3 billion pesos, up 28% against the first quarter of the year before and up 8% against December. And this is supported by what mentions Gonzalo and its net flow. Here we can see that in the quarter we had a net flow of 1.9 billion. This is 6.5 times the net flow we had in the first quarter of 2020. And when we look at the full year, it's a net flow of 5.4 billion up with a growth of clients of 13.5%. It's important to also highlight here that about 69% of the traditional assets had an alpha this quarter. Now let's look at the bottom of the page or slide. We can see revenues from commissions and how they grew 30.1%, reaching 94 billion pesos. And I'd like to emphasize this lower graph on the right-hand side where you can see a drop trend in the last quarters of expenses as a percentage of revenue. And we can see a positive trend in the profit of this segment. And mainly, I'd like to highlight that we have two quarters with a positive profit in the business, again, of Inversiones SURA and investment management, which was what we call the voluntary business of the company. So with this, I end the presentation of the results of the companies and give way for our Q&A session. Thank you so much for joining us.